on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Yes, indeed. It's the Golf Club moving day at the Masters. And just a heads up for you, you're not moving. If you're trying to get to Ko'olina, H1 westbound is closed. There's a massive traffic accident. They're diverting all traffic off the freeway to the north-south road. Just use those surface streets. Farrington Highway will get you to Ko'olina. Starting off this morning in the clubhouse, Ron Cyrak, Executive Director, editor of Golf World Magazine, senior writer, Golf Digest. But first, I want to thank our sponsors who make this show possible. Avancé Salon for color, cut, silkening technologies, extensions, manicures, pedicures, you name it. Avancé.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Ron Cyrak, Executive Editor, Golf World, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. You know, you can follow Ron on Twitter, at Ron Cyrak. You scored a home run yesterday. The I think the tweet was, Tiger having a bad language day on Good Friday.
Yeah, he got caught on microphone three times yesterday on the back nine, and he was getting blown up on Twitter pretty good about that. It was Tiger at his worst in terms of behavior on the golf course.
And then kicking the club.
He got three good obscenities off, and then he kicked his 9-iron on the 16th tee. Yeah, it was not a happy camper coming down the stretch.
No, you wrote a great article, a piece on golfdigest.com, Tiger Light. We're seeing Tiger Light. Now, after Bay Hill, a lot of people thought, you know, maybe Tiger was back. Did you?
No. I didn't feel that. I mean, I walked all 72 holes with him at Bay Hill, and he was never pressured on Sunday. The three guys who were closest to him, Els, Poulter, and Graham McDowell, all shot 74 or higher. So the swing wasn't really tested under pressure. And I saw enough problems with the iron play. He wasn't hitting the irons close enough for the hole. But I think the basic thing is, when people start saying Tiger's back, we got to define that. What are we talking about? Are we talking 19? The year 2000 version of Tiger, we're never going to see that person again. That was as good as golf gets. And the question is, what are we going to see? And I don't have an answer to that, which is why I find this really compelling. One of my tweets this morning is, I said, if Tiger shoots 65 today or if he shoots 75 today, I won't be surprised either way.
Exactly. So it must be difficult being a legend. You know, he is a legend. The way he played is legendary. But now he can't ever live up to that. What do you do?
Well, you know, it's sort of like I've likened it to, it's sort of like Orson Welles making Citizen Kane when he was 26 years old. You know, I mean, you paint your masterpiece at a young age, and Tiger was 24 years old in 2000 when he won three majors, one by 15 strokes, one by 8 strokes, 8 tournaments overall. And it's tough. The bar for genius is set very high, and we're never going to see that Tiger. It's my feeling we're never going to see that Tiger Woods again. But if we see a Tiger Woods who wins three tournaments and a major, or just three, you know, is that good enough? It's certainly better. Tiger Light is certainly better than almost anybody else playing the game.
Yeah, and you walk with him. Okay, you're inside the ropes. You actually get to watch him. I'm just watching on television like most of us. When I see him, he seems to be ready. He seems to set himself up. He's got, you know, all of his pre-shot routine and things going on. And then something seems to just disappear. It's like his mind, and I don't know if I'm just seeing that, I'm reading into that, but something goes away.
Well, I mean, first off, a byproduct of this whole swing change is that his pace of play has become glacial right now. It's exactly what you just described. He has this endless setup process. He rehearses the swing. He rehearses the move that he's trying to make to the ball. And all that seems to me to be screaming. There's a big part of me that thinks he was, when I saw him when he was 20 years old, 19 years old, he was the greatest natural field player I'd ever seen. And I wish he'd go back to being that player.
So right now we've got him, what, two birdies and two bogeys? He's not going anywhere.
He turned in 36. He's certainly spinning his wheels. I mean, look, his problem was not so much that he was eight behind. It was there were 45 players either tied with him or in front of him. It's hard to pass that. If you're only chasing three players and you're eight behind, that's a lot more doable. And in front of him, there were 16 major champions in front of him. So the chances that even if he shot a 66 today, that would have taken him to three under par. The chances that some of those people in front of him were going to move ahead, it just seemed undoable. And, you know, the fact is, I'm not sure that right now on this golf course, under major championship conditions, he has a 66 in him.
No, it doesn't look like it. Now, there are a lot of players who are excellent. Luke Donald, we'll get to him right after let's talk about that scorecard snafu that happened. Just so strange. A fax was sent, and there was a smudge. It was day one. Luke Donald, for an hour, was the question of disqualification loomed in the air.
Yeah. I mean, it all worked out, you know, but... It looked like he signed for not the score that he actually had, and of course that's a DQ if you signed for a lower score than you actually shot. But you know, it all worked out, and I don't know if that threw Luke off, you know, for the whole tournament or what. But he was on Wednesday night. We have the annual Golf Writers Association of America awards dinner here, and he was the Player of the Year. And he came and was just totally a delightful speaker. He was wearing a Rory McIlroy wig and sort of tweaking us that even though he's number one in the world, Rory gets more attention. And, you know, he's got from 100 yards in, he might be the best player in the world. He was not particularly good off the tee, and you know, that hurts him in the major championships. And it's hard to... It's hard to take the number one ranking as seriously as you'd like to take it without a major. I mean, if I had to pick right now who the best player in the world is, I say it's Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy, are you leaning toward? I don't know that you pick the winners. Do you say I'm going for Rory McIlroy?
I felt coming into the tournament that he was going to win. I think that it's totally in keeping with the arc of improvement that we've seen in his career. I mean, you know, he's has a four-stroke lead going into Sunday here last year, shoot 80. It's one of the most painful things I ever watched a human being go. I wanted to, like, run out and put my arms around him and lead him off the golf course. I felt so bad for him. And then he comes back and wins the next major, the U.S. Open at Congressional, in record fashion. He's one of those people, and I saw it with Lorena Ochoa on the LPGA, who used heartbreak as a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. You know, we'd get better. We'd learn from mistakes. And I truly felt that he would come in here this week and get his revenge on the golf course.
It looks like he is. I mean, he's just sneaking up the leaderboard nicely. He's in such good position. Two people...
Well, you know, a key thing that he did is, and I wrote this yesterday writing about him, is it could very well be that 71 he shot on Thursday was his bad round. Because he took what should have been a 75 and turned it into a 71. Finished birdie, double bogeyed the first hole, but fought his way back. And that's what champions do. You take your bad round and you make it be a 71, not some high number.
We have a champion in the lead. I got it. Freddie. Yes, Freddie Couples. He's 52. He won in 92. He wanted to contend. He's leading. Okay, realistically, how does he look for the weekend?
Well, you know, this is one of the courses where local knowledge and veteran experience goes a long way for you. It's less true here now than it used to be because of all the length that they've given to the course. But because he knows the place so well, that's gonna help him. I would be surprised if his putting held up for two more days. this is a golf course that really examines your putting.
Jason Duffner lost the PGA Championship playoff. Keegan Bradley won. What are his chances?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're going to learn a lot about him this week, and then we're going to learn, like, exactly what we were talking about with McIlroy is what has he learned from his heartbreaks before. You know, I look at McIlroy, and he's not going to be an Ernie Els or a Greg Norman or a Tom Weisskopf who's going to have near misses in the Masters and never break through. He will break through. With Duffner, we find out whether he's going to be one of those people who breaks through or one of those people who carries the scar of, I almost won the PGA for his whole career.
Oh, God. Yes, yes. And Sergio Garcia. Sergio, with the finger that doesn't work. This surprised
another guy whose putter, I'll be surprised if it holds up all weekend, but it's fun to have him on the leaderboard. You know, look at the leaderboard coming in there, and Duffner's an interesting story in his own way, but then you got couples, Bubba Watson, Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy, Lee Westwood, Matt Kuchar, and Miguel Angel Jimenez,
yeah.
the most interesting man in the world. and what it really makes you realize and appreciate, this isn't a one-person tour anymore. You don't necessarily need to have Tiger Woods winning the tournament or even in contention to have a really compelling golf tournament.
Phil Mickelson. Now, he had a horrible Tiger Day, I called it. Just melted down and came back, and he said, I need to do well tomorrow to be back, and he did.
He backed up. He starts 74, but then backs it up with a 68, and he's right back in the mix. He's starting the day like two shots off the lead. And talk about people who are very comfortable on this golf course. He's got three green jackets at home. You know, he knows what you need to do out here. It's funny. He was on Thursday. He had the next to the last tee time. He was teeing off like at 1:30, but he was out here at 7:40 in the morning to watch Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player hit the ceremonial first tee shot. And I was looking at that, thinking, "Wow, that's a classy move on Phil's part."
It really is. He's paired with Vijay Singh. Do they really have something like animosity going on?
I don't think so. I don't think that Vijay. I mean, Phil sort of tries to be friendly with everybody, and DJ tries to be friendly with nobody.
So, okay. That's great. All right, amateurs. It seems like we've got three who've made the cut. Hideki Matsuyama, Kelly Kraft, and Patrick Cantlay. Is that the most in recent history?
You know, I'll tell you, first off, let's talk about Hideki Matsuyama. I mean, here's a guy now. He's won the Asian Amateur Challenge twice. And when they first said they were going to give a spot in the field to the winner of the Asian Amateur Challenge, there was a lot of people who thought they were throwing away a spot in the field. He ended up being low amateur here last year, you know, and he could end up being low amateur again this year. Yeah, to get three is, you know, usually we're lucky to sneak one guy into the field. But Matsuyama is a real deal. It's going to be interesting to watch his career unfold.
It is. Okay. I'm gonna assume that the LPGA and PGA Tour players know who Ron Czyrak is, okay? The golf writer who walks the course with them. Now, I imagine a good many of them want to see if you've written about them. And what came to mind as I was thinking about talking to you, when you're writing, does Czyrak the journalist come up against, like, Czyrak the person who knows the subject is going to read the piece? Does that ever come into play when you're writing about someone?
Well, you know, the level of accountability that you're held to is, if you write something critical about somebody, can you come out the next day and look them in the eye and feel that you were fair and you didn't take a cheap shot at them? And I think that, you know, that's the standard that I always try to hold myself to, is that can I look that person in the eye the next day and feel that I was fair to them? You know, you're never going to get to the point where you're going to necessarily go easy on somebody. Some of the stuff I've been writing for the last 2.5 years, I'm not going to get a Christmas card from Tiger Woods anytime soon. That's just not going to happen, because I have trouble buying into a lot of what he's telling us about exactly how close he is and everything. I think sometimes he's been disingenuous with us about the extent of his injuries. You know, clearly he's either been hurt worse than we're being told or something. But you can't let that, you can't let wanting them to like you affect what you write. But you have to let wanting them to respect you affect what you write. You want to be fair.
Yeah. Okay. A journalist at Augusta was trying to make a statement. It's the men only thing at the club. And I, you know, women rile against it. You know, they should let women in. I have a problem with that. And somebody tweeted me, don't you have a hard time covering the Masters knowing that you'd never be a... No, I frankly don't. It's a private club. If anybody forces me to let somebody into my private club, you know, I'm not going to let them. No, you can't come in. It's my private. It's my rules. It's a private club. May I ask you how the journalists there in, if you may speak for them as a group, kind of feel about this?
I think that it's pretty divided. I think that what's complicated issues in recent years, you know, when 9 years ago now, 10 years ago, when Martha Burke wrote the letter to Hootie Johnson, the then chairman, and Hootie responded by saying, we will not act at the point of a bayonet. Well, that bayonet has ended up being the fact that the world's changing around them. It used to be, if you took the top 50 corporations in the world, the CEOs were a boys' club. They were all boys. They were all men. That's not true anymore. There are many, many big corporations that have women CEOs. One of those is IBM. IBM is a sponsor of the Masters. I think right now, IBM's in a trickier situation than Augusta National is. Augusta National can have whatever policy they want to have. The Constitution allows them to have that. IBM has probably got to deal with questions from its stockholders and other people about, gee, doesn't this go against internal company policies, HR policies of fairness and equality in promotion for our employees?
So we have two separate issues here going on, and the reason we're talking about this is because IBM CEO is a woman, and aren't
Virginia Romney, yes,
and aren't all CEOs offered like a membership?
The last three CEOs of IBM have been members of Augusta National. They have also all been men. So now here's something: the club has, after the point of the bayonet quote from Hootie 10 years ago. The club has now gone back to what its policy usually is on these matters, which is to say we do not discuss internal club matters. There was sort of a contentious press conference with the chairman here on Wednesday in which he got 11 questions about female members, to which all of which the answer was essentially, it's none of your business. It's an internal club matter. That became a little bit harder for... It became an awkward situation for them because Augusta National also takes a leadership role in growing the game programs in not just in the United States, but around the world, like with the Asia Amateur Challenge. And it some people thought it was a little disingenuous in some ways to, on the one hand, say you want to grow the game, and on the other hand, exclude women. But here's the question that hasn't been answered. And I wrote this on Wednesday. There may already be a female member at Augusta National. Virginia Romney may have already been offered membership. She may have accepted it, but they're not going to tell us because it comes under their issue, the whole policy of not discussing internal matters. What I think is going to happen, Augusta closes in the middle of May. It's closed all summer. It'll reopen next October 15th. And I have a feeling that word will leak out soon after it reopens that they have a female member next fall. And by the time we get here next year, it'll be an issue in the rearview mirror.
Excellent. Thank you for that. The Golf Writer Association of America Awards Dinner on Wednesday night, and I'd like to congratulate you, first of all, on winning the Non-Daily Special Projects section for your Golf World piece. Professional golf expands into Middle East. European Tour deepens roots there. Nicely done. We talked about that piece. It's beautifully done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Also, on you are now the president of the GWAA, are you not?
Well, I take over next year. I'm the vice president now. The president in waiting.
The president. Okay. You had the opportunity though to present a friend of yours, the Ben Hogan Award. Tell us, what is the Ben Hogan Award?
Ben Hogan Award is remember that Ben Hogan was seriously injured in a car crash in 1949 and came back from that to win 6 major championships, including 3 in 1 year. So we created an award for people who've come back from injury or illness to succeed in the world of golf. And there are many different ways in which the first recipient of the award was Babe Zaharias, who won a Women's U.S. Open after having had cancer surgery. And we've also had Judy Rankin, who had breast cancer and has been able to continue her career as a broadcaster in golf, has won the award. This year, it was won by Sophie Gustafson, and it was a little bit different because she didn't have an injury, she didn't have an illness, but as long as she can remember, she's had a very, very severe stutter. And when you think of that for 20 years, she's existed in the very public world of being a professional golfer, where interacting with the media, the fans, with sponsors, playing pro-am is such a big part of it. And she gave, I know, by the way, Sophie's won 28 tournaments, 5 LPGA events, and was the star of last year's European Solheim Cup team, going 4-0. So she's a really, really good player. But she videotaped her, and she made the tape herself. And if you go on to either our website or onto YouTube and put Sophie's speech, you'll be able to find it. She gave a speech about 6.5 minutes in which there was not a dry eye in the house when she finished. She was speaking, enduring through her stutter with a great, great, great sense of humor. You know, she said at the end, "My advice to children with stutters is pursue your dreams, be whatever you want to be." And she said, "Of course, telephone salesman might not be the road you want to follow."
I love that line.
She's a smart, funny woman, and it was, and she brought down the house. She was the highlight of the evening. On an evening of very emotional speeches, one of the other people that we honored was Major Dan Rooney and his Folds of Honor Foundation, which raises scholarship money for the children of service people who've been lost in our nation's wars.
Yes, thank you. You know, I loved what she said when she said she never thought of stuttering as a handicap because she's always stuttered. It's been a part of her life. She also addressed children who are teased, and that touched me very deeply because so many children are victims of bullying and teasing, but you rise above it, and she certainly has. And
when we finish the interview, I will tweet a link to that to the video of that interview, and I do encourage any of your listeners that it's well worth the time to watch it. Sophie's an amazing woman.
Right, and since most of the people in Hawaii, if you're here, it's on golfdigest.com. You can find it there. You can also find it, I believe, isn't it on Golf World's Facebook page? I think you can find it there too.
Yeah.
So that's available to you. Now, you know, speaking of Ben Hogan coming back and winning as much as he did, is there a chance that Tiger Woods could do that, do a Ben Hogan?
You know, I guess. I mean, you know, I mean, he has enormous talent. You know, that's not going away. But boy, there just seems to be so many moving pieces in there right now. That he's got these swing issues, but he's also got, I think, confidence issues, and I think he's got physical issues. I mean, if you ask me, what's the most problematic thing that could keep Tiger from being a consistent winner again? It would be number one, his putter, which has been erratic, and number two, the health of his left knee, which has been operated on 4 times. I think the swing he will eventually figure out. But boy, a swing that looked close to being under control at Bay Hill 2 weeks ago has looked nowhere near, particularly yesterday, nowhere near being under control.
No, and Hank Haney tweeted something like, honestly, you know, it didn't look that bad.
Well, you know, when he hit the shot on 16, the par 3, and he was hitting a 9-iron, and he just totally fanned it out to the right, a little weak fade, short and right, and then he threw the 9-iron to the ground, kicked the 9-iron, and said some unpleasant words, and Nick Faldo on TV responded, "He's lost his game and he's lost his mind." And that sort of pretty much summed it up.
Exactly. And he's not able to find the club face of the ball and the ball. Yes, that was it. That was perfect. Thank you for finishing with that. Always a pleasure talking to you. Ron Cyrak, executive editor, Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest, and author. Good to have you on the show, and I hope to talk again soon.
Thanks, Danielle. Anytime.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. If you are watching the Masters and then want to go and, you know, tweak your game, maybe you see something you like, today, April 7th, at the Dunes at Maui Lani, at the Maui Golf Shop, well, in conjunction with the Maui Golf Shop, I'm sure that they're going to have this demo day at the Dunes at Maui Lani, since there'll be a whole lot more room instead of trying to test everything out at the Maui Golf Shop. Cliff Council will be there. It's from 1 o'clock this afternoon until 5 o'clock, strategically timed following the Masters, as Jerry King tells me. And we've got Ryan Ballingy and Sandy Crowley. Let's start off with Sandy, since Ryan is coming up right after Sandy. Sandy's waiting for us. This is where I'm going to the Masters. Okay, I've made a decision. I'm going to the Masters, and I'm going next year. That's it. So, Ryan, stand by, because I want to go to the Masters. And Sandy Crowley is the Augusta Golf Girl. Welcome to the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
It's great to be with you again this year.
It's great having you.
Yeah, it's an amazing week here in Augusta. It's just every year, I tell you, I just keep thinking it just gets better and better every year.
How many have you attended? How many Masters?
I've gone ever since I was 16, and I just turned 34, so,
wow.
I'm getting up, yeah.
Okay, so you know everything about it. No, I want you to recommend to me, I don't have a lot of money. I mean, you know,
uh-huh.
Most of us don't.
Uh-huh.
would I be working? Yeah, probably, but, you know, I'd be all over the world working. So I want an inexpensive, like a nice B&B, comfortable, uh-huh. in Augusta, not too far from the course. How far out do we have to make reservations? Are those kinds of places booked like years in advance?
Well, they're not necessarily booked years in advance, but, what really happens with a lot of the bed and breakfasts here in town is a lot of the corporate clients, you know, will come in and literally they'll rent out an entire, hotel. And so once they come in and they really enjoy that hotel, they go ahead and rebook it and save it for the following year.
Okay.
And so that's why it's difficult for someone that's not, you know, with a corporation to come in and to do the Masters on a budget. But I will tell you that a lot of people will go to, like, Aiken, South Carolina, which is about 20 minutes from the club. It's not very far. Aiken is a wonderful little community, golf community as well. And, I advise people, you know, if you're just coming in and you lucked up, you got a ticket, go over there and get just an inexpensive, you know, hotel room. Book it early, and the rates are pretty reasonable.
What's a comfortable, affordable hotel in Aiken, South Carolina?
The Aiken Hotel is really nice, but they do a lot of corporate. You know, your traditional Hampton Inns, your state, you know, your Holiday Inns, those types of places are really suitable for Masters Week. They really pull out, you know, the red carpet during that week and kind of up their own hospitality.
Do you have the Comfort Suites over there? Comfort Suites, Marriott?
We do.
Okay. Because they have everything. They've got a gym. They've got everything. A little breakfast. And then I like those places. Those are nice. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the thought. All right. So this is my first time there. So if I want to plant myself on the course rather than walking the entire course with one group, where's the best place to put myself?
This has been debated by every person that's possibly ever gone to a course. This is, you know, you could sit around for hours over beers and cigars and debate, you know, who's gone to the Masters, you know, the most, and who can tell you where to sit. And I just actually had this conversation last night with a group of young ladies that were here for the first time at the Marriott. And we just happened to be sitting at the same, you know, bar, and we all got to talking. Of course, there's a couple other guys that, you know, they've been quite a few times as well. And so we all debated, the course is just beautiful. So my number one recommendation for anyone coming in for the first time, and especially if it may potentially be your last time, plan a chair, you know, find a good spot, look over the map and kind of see what your interest, you know, if you want to, you know, plant at Amen Corner, or if you'd rather, you know, watch and see if someone skips holes on 16, you know. And so there's different things that everyone likes. But the biggest thing is plan a chair, put your name on it. It's not going anywhere. You can plant it first thing when you get there. It's going to stay there all day long.
Really?
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing, and people don't believe me when I tell them that. But yeah, they're just the tournament itself, the patrons. I don't know if they sprinkle magic dust on them as they come through the gates to turn them, you know, polite and friendly and all of that.
Oh, wait, I've heard that there's no running on either. There's no.
No.
You have
there's
to.
No,
yeah, could tell
yeah,
us about
there's,
that.
There's no running. There's gallery guards that take their job very seriously. And
wait,
it's not.
Hold on. A gallery guard? A gallery guard.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of gallery guards. and I'll tell you, this is how many times I've been to the Masters now. I got an email the other day from one of the gallery guards, and these guys come in from all over, you know, the country once they get that job, because they end up getting to play the course, which is a little known secret.
Oh.
You kind of want to be a gallery guard. But I got an email from one of the gallery guards, and he said, hey, are you going to be there on par 3 at your normal spot? And I thought, are you kidding me? Have I gone to the par? You know, have I sat at the same spot long enough for the gallery guards to kind of expect me? And, you know, in the email, he's like, oh, we'll save it for you if you let me know your cut. And I'm like, wow, that's really nice, you know.
Yeah, that's special. Obviously, this is somebody you want to know. If somebody wants to get help to get to the Masters, are you available for that?
You know, I am, and, you know, I do a lot of work with a lot of hospitality houses and a lot of travel companies. And so what I have really just really done over the last few years is I've really established Augusta Golf Girl as kind of the person that funnels everything. So if you come in and you're just like, you know, a regular Joe or a Jane, and you want to go to the Masters and you've got a ticket, then I can try to help you and advise you, you know, where to go and get all that set up. If you're a corporate client, I work with hospitality houses, and we take care of all of them. And it's just great. And I'm very particular about who I work with. I expect a certain level of standards no matter the budget. So, you know, and this year I'm working with EMS, which is Executive Services Marketing, and they are great. These guys are local, and I've known them for many, many years, actually. And we just started talking about the Masters, and I said, you know, I really want to partner with one company that's local that I can work with year-round, because I get, you know, so many people reaching out saying, hey, you know, I want to come to the Masters. How can I do that? And so I'm trying to make sure that I have everything at my disposal to make sure that no matter the budget, you know, no matter the circumstances, that I can, you know, help those people out.
Okay. So if I am a corporation and I want to do work with you or through you, what is the name of the company that I get in touch with in Augusta?
You know what? I have AugustaGolfGirls.com.
Okay.
That's always going to be up there. We're
okay.
Still loading content on that, but that's the easiest way to reach me directly, is just go to AugustaGolfGirls.com.
All right.
And I can definitely, you know, and I get contact from all over the world of people. I mean, the stories, I think one day I'm going to write a book about, you know, my first time in Augusta, the stories that I am a part of, you know, a longtime friend of mine through social media reached out, and Ian Lisk is his name, and he reached out and he said, hey, guess what? My dad is turning 80, and we're surprising him for his birthday, and we're going to take him to the Masters. And so he's flying in tomorrow.
And he doesn't know?
Well, he just found out last Sunday, and he's still overwhelmed. He doesn't even believe it. And so they're bringing him in via private jet. 80 years old, you know, he's not a high roller. He's a working, hard-working guy. And, you know, his family's going to bring him out on a private jet and take him to the Masters on Sunday. I mean,
wow.
Does it get better than
no.
that? 80 years old and your bucket list is complete,
wow.
You know?
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah.
Now, here's a $64,000 question. How do we get tickets?
Oh, you know, that's even hard for me. I will tell you, the ticket situation, you know, I wish that I could win that Mega Millions every year and just give out tickets. I really do. I wish that there were a great way that you can, but the easiest way to get tickets, I will tell you, is number one, go through a corporate hospitality house. They have access to tickets that regular Joes do not have, and they are licensed brokers. They're above grade. You know, yeah, you're not supposed to sell tickets, but you know what? Everyone wants to go to the Masters. So these guys are legit, and they provide a service that's highly desired.
Yeah.
You know, and it is. But and I used to be very anti that situation, but you know, the one thing that I've learned through the years is there's good people out there that don't mind, you know, spending a little money to get in, and as long as it's done the right way, I think it's okay. And that's a personal thing, and I'm sure Augusta National will not like me saying that publicly, but you know, if it's done the right way, and you know that the guy going in there using that ticket is not going to go in and call the scene, you know, he knows how to behave, then so be it. Let's go to the Masters, you know?
Yeah, let's go.
And, yeah, I mean, let's go.
Let's go. Ryan,
you're
Ryan,
ready.
You know Ryan Ballengee, right?
I do. Long time now, yes.
Okay, Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Ryan.
Now, Ryan, the final question I want to ask Sandy, and so this is like what? So I'm at the Masters. Maybe I get a day ticket. You know, maybe I get.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. Maybe I just get the par 3 day, or maybe I can only afford the Thursday or the Saturday. But I want to play golf. Where would I go play golf if I couldn't play at the Masters? You know, go watch the Masters.
I wish this were the $64,000 question, because I would be cashing that check right about now. I will tell you my number one spot that I tell, and I love all of the golf courses in the community. I will tell you, I have great relationships with a lot of the local courses, and I'm not knocking any other course by saying this, but if I only could play one course in the area, it would definitely be the Palmetto Club. It's over 100 years old. It's in Aiken, South Carolina. It's $125 to play, which is unheard of.
Okay.
On that level of a course.
Yes. And how old is that course?
I don't know the exact. Ryan may actually know the exact, but it's over 100 years old and has a lot of old ties with Augusta.
Some of the
same materials were used. It's a good old Southern course. And, you know, if you're coming in and you want to get a taste of what it would feel like to play at Augusta.
Yeah.
You know, just try. It's definitely the course that I would play if I could only play one.
So I'm going to stay in Aiken, play in Aiken, and go to the Masters.
Uh-oh. I'm going to be called the Aiken Golf Girl soon. I'm going to get in trouble. Let me throw a couple of Augusta names out there.
Ryan, which one would you play?
That's actually an excellent suggestion. That when I went last year and a couple of years before that, those were the courses I thought of playing. I never got to them because I was working, but those would be the places that I'd go to Palmetto.
Okay. All right. Sandy Crawley, AugustaGolfGirl.com. She's the place to go to. We need to take a break. Bring on Ryan Ballingy. He's at GolfChannel.com. You've come so far. I'm so excited. The progress you've made in your career is amazing, both of you. Aloha, Sandy. Stand by, Ryan. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in and I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. Ryan Ballingy, a writer and a broadcaster. Welcome to the show. You are at the Masters.
How are you doing, Danielle? I'm doing pretty well.
I'm doing great. And thank you for, you were doing a little soft shoe over here because we had a little bit of a change in the lineup at the last minute. I was looking forward to talking to David McKenzie. He's with Golf State of Mind. Excellent mental coach. I wanted to talk to him about the meltdown, the Tiger Woods meltdown. Did you get to witness that?
I did, and I think the takeaway from it is, at least for me, and I don't know what David's going to offer later, but combining what I saw from him at the Masters yesterday and then at Atlanta Athletic Club in the PGA Championship last August, it seems like the attitude Woods takes towards majors has changed, that he presses a little too much in these situations where he realizes maybe he doesn't have everything or maybe he's not at the top of his game, and he tries to get a little bit too aggressive and maybe even overthinks the way that he's playing a golf course that he even knows as well as Augusta National, and the kinds of things then unravel that, like we saw at 15, we saw at 16 and 8 and 9, where the small putts that he knows well don't go in, or even a simple 9-iron goes way right, and it borders on a shank. I mean, those are the types of things that happen when a golfer isn't thinking about being in the moment. They're thinking a little too far ahead, and that's why I think Woods is right now.
You know, when you say being in the moment, it's really hard to be in the moment. Being in the moment means you actually have to keep your mind present. You don't get to go wandering off, and you'd be surprised how often you just kind of go to the past, the present, the future, you're back in the past. And you do that like this all day long. You're all over the place. When you're
right?
When you're focused,
absolutely.
When you're focused, you're on the course, you're in the shot. You've got to be there. To me, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, I just feel like when I'm watching him, he seems to be in the moment until it's time to pull the trigger. And then something goes away. It's like he's gone. He's lost it. He's, and what you're probably saying is accurate, I think is right, is that he's putting so much pressure on himself. He's believing that if he doesn't win this time, this Masters, this major, he'll never get to 18.
And there are people who think, okay, well, he's 36 now. Jack won his last Masters at 46 in 86. That's 10 years, four majors a year, 40 majors. So if you think Woods has an equal chance to win all 40 of those, he only has to win five, has won 12.5% of majors, which is still a lot. I mean, it's still Seve Ballesteros' entire career, but that seems pretty benign compared to Woods' track record to this point. So I don't think Woods sees it that way. At least that's not the impression I get. He doesn't feel like I have an equal chance at the 2012 Masters as I do at the 2016 Masters or the 2020 Masters. He doesn't see those odds the same way and wants to get those four or five majors in now before anything happens to his health or his personal situation or anything like that that could further make it further complicate things.
Yes. Yes. I'm hearing you loud and clear now. I was just thinking, you know, maybe like Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods would really benefit from being paired with Freddie Couples.
I agree, and I think that pairing with Angel Cabrera last year really hurt McIlroy in the final round. Was in a friendly face. Not to say Cabrera is a bad guy. He's just not a talker. He doesn't speak a lot of English to begin with. He doesn't speak a lot during play, and he's a fast golfer, even faster than Rory can get at times. And so Cabrera dictated the pace of play last year in the final group, and I think that kind of left Rory waiting and thinking with too many idle thoughts, and he already wasn't himself in that situation, so it was just a bad pairing for him, as opposed to someone like Couples, who is fairly easygoing. He's not hard to play with. He plays at a modest pace. He's not too quick, not too slow, and I think that's going to work really well, not only for Couples today, but also for Jason Duffner, who's playing with him in the final group, because Duffner hasn't been on this Masters stage before, so having somebody like Couples, who's going to have all the attention on him, it's not going to be on Duffner, that's going to work out pretty well for the Auburn product, I think.
Oh, yeah. Now, Jason, having been in the runner-up position in the PGA Championship and not winning, losing, to Keegan Bradley, how do you see him going into the weekend? I understand he, you know, I don't watch him a lot because he's kind of under the radar, but he kind of folds. Do you think he's gotten over that?
Well, the thing, the PGA Tour folks, their media folks put out something today. This is the fourth or fifth time he's had the halfway lead in any PGA Tour sanctioned event. And all of those, he obviously has no wins. I think his best is a sixth place finish. So he does have a penchant for not finishing things off as he starts them. But at the same time, he got so close, a three-shot lead coming down the stretch at Atlanta Athletic Club last year, even despite the meltdown, found a way to keep it fairly competitive even through the playoff. I think he took a lot away from that situation and probably felt affirmed that his very easygoing attitude and the kind of the unwavering sign of his facial expression works in that situation. He just came a little bit shy. So I think that actually works out pretty well for him. I think he'll be in the hunt at the end, but there are also so many more world-class players around him of a variety of ages right now that I think he's a little above his pay grade. I don't think he'll wind up winning in the end, but I think he'll do nicely for himself.
How do you think Freddie will do?
I think today is the key because Couples has been shaky on Saturday at the Masters for basically the last decade. His average is somewhere around 73, as high as 78, as low as in, I think, 68, 69. But he hovers around that just barely around par, barely over par pace, and I don't think that's going to work today from the sounds of things. But the early pin placements seem to be pretty easy and accessible. We haven't really seen a lot of the back nine yet, obviously. But I think a number for Couples today is 68. If he can shoot 68 today, and he's in tremendous shape for tomorrow.
Wow. Wouldn't that be something if Freddie Couples would... I mean, he's just come off the Champions Tour. He did fabulous on the last PGA Tour stop at the Shell. I mean, he's been playing at 52. It's marvelous with his back. That doctor in Germany. I love that doctor in Germany.
And I can assure you that if Couples wins this Masters, that German doctor will have many more clients on Monday morning than he had this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Because the work that has been done by that doctor, I mean, ultimately was done in Los Angeles, before the Riviera tournament. That has done wonders for couples back on two different occasions. And last year, couples had a chance on Sunday and could barely stand still talking to reporters. This year, he feels so much more comfortable. He comes off of a Champions Tour win. He's in a good place right now. And when couples is in a good place and puts forth that effort, he's as good as anybody on the planet, barring, I mean, it doesn't matter what age they are. It's 52 or 22, whatever your spectrum. He's one of the best on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you know, I mean, it's for a lot of people, yeah, right. Freddie's not going to win. Freddie Couples isn't going to win. He's, you know, we got Rory McIlroy, who's coming on strong. We got Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson, here's the person with attention deficit disorder.
who's admits he does not putt the ball well at a place where you need to putt the ball well. It's somewhat of a minor miracle that he is in this tournament despite his putting inability and the inability to take advantage of the par five so far on the kind of scale that you might expect from somebody of his power. So if he can put those two things together for a couple of rounds over the weekend, he really has a tremendous opportunity to win his first major.
It really would be something. Who keeps him on track? Does his caddy work with him?
Yeah, I mean, Ted Scott really does go out of his way to try to keep Bubba focused. I think Bubba kind of downplays his ability to focus. I don't think he has too much ADD. I think he has a healthy amount of ADD for him. Maybe too much focus kind of throws him off. He doesn't need that laser-like focus. He needs kind of just enough to be interested, but not too much to be worried, if that makes sense.
It does. I think that's what Tiger needs.
I think that what Tiger worries about is something much broader right now. He worries about 19. Instead of thinking 9-iron, he worries about something much broader than the individual shot or the individual play at hand.
Okay, let's ask the big question. Does he like golf still?
I think he does. I mean, you could see it at Bay Hill. You could see he really enjoyed getting around Bay Hill and taking it apart and doing what he used to do. I think when he does that, if you have that kind of talent, you're going to love golf every day of your life. If you kind of play like he has in the last two major championships, particularly on those Friday rounds where he has struggled both those times, it seems like there's no reason to enjoy the game. If you're going to play like that in pursuit of the greatest golfer of all time, then it's not really an enjoyable quest. It's a venture you're putting yourself into because you feel you have to, but not because you want to.
Fighting windmills. Phil Mickelson did a tremendous... I thought when Phil played on Thursday, I thought, oh, dear, you know, we've got that Phil. You know, don't people say that, you know, which Phil's going to show up today? Isn't that the question we pose when we look at Phil Mickelson? Who are we going to get? It's kind of an interesting thing to the dichotomy between the man who plays brilliantly and the man who just can't find the fairway. It was snipe hunting. They were looking for his ball that went way off into the woods, you know, on a fool's errand, if you will, trying to find that ball, and he hit the provisional. Do you think we'll get the yesterday Phil Mickelson today, or is it every day a question?
I think we'll get the three-time Masters champion Phil this weekend, and I think that because of two things. What happened on Thursday was really a byproduct of two terrible holes, the ninth and tenth. Take those two holes away, he has a pretty decent round. But obviously one of those two holes being a triple bogey kind of throws things into the mix. If he doesn't have that, he's at 5-under. He's tied for the lead. So I think knowing Phil and the way he keeps an optimistic spin on things, he feels he's playing well enough to be in at least tied for the lead right now. So he shoots a 68 on Friday, gets back into contention in the tournament, fully realizing the lead has not changed. He's gained on the lead, and now he's in a position where the course is going to get firmer. His championship expertise is going to become more paramount, and it's going to become more to his advantage over the final 2 days of this tournament. If that turns out to be true, and Mickelson can play to that experience, he's got to be one of those guys who has a leg up on the field, other than Couples, who has tremendous experience as well, mm-hmm. and Rory McIlroy, who obviously came so close last year.
Yeah. And, okay, were you expecting Sergio Garcia to be in the position he's in?
No, I mean, I don't think I expected him to play poorly. I just didn't expect him to play this well. But Garcia doesn't have a penchant for doing really well on the weekend at Augusta National either. He's kind of in that Fred Couples territory where Saturday is a danger round and it usually comes undone. I'm not going to say that he's going to shoot 78 today out there, but I just don't see Sergio putting it together for four rounds. Then again, this could be the time. I mean, he won twice in his home country in last October. He's playing pretty good golf, other than that 12 he made it to round. So, overall, Garcia's game is as good as it's ever been. It's just a matter of being able to make those pressure putts like he did at the Players' Championship almost four years ago.
Okay. All right. Lee Westwood, former number one, hasn't won a major yet, in tip-top shape. Everybody tells me he's in fabulous physical condition.
He is. He's in the best shape of his life. He's probably in the best shape of a lot of people's lives. He's gone out of his way to get physically fit, bulk up muscle in the right places, but while being simultaneously able to maintain his ability to strike the ball as well, probably better than anybody on the planet. He's just such an excellent golfer from tee to green. It's whether or not he can make those critical putts for 36 more holes, which has really been his downfall at Augusta National all these years.
So it's putting, but he said on day one that he liked it because it was a great second shot course and his putter was working. So he seems to be comfortable in Augusta at the Masters when he hasn't been in the past.
I agree with you because really the key for him this weekend is putting. If he feels comfortable from 25 feet and in, he has a really good chance. But last year, he walked out of the clubhouse Saturday night after his third round with a long putter and his standard putter in hand. Still couldn't figure it out. And was T11 in this tournament, despite the fact that he was fighting two putters on Saturday night.
Wow.
So that tells you a little something about how good he is at this golf course, tee to green. If he can putt or the field doesn't putt as well, then he has a really good chance.
Who's your favorite?
Now, it's got to be Rory McIlroy. He's one shot out of the lead. Nobody's really talking about him, which kind of keeps the pressure off. And he's just the best golfer on the planet right now. It's that simple. And if you're the best golfer on the planet and nobody is talking about you, it's a perfect cauldron to just go shoot 65 and all of a sudden win this golf tournament basically on Saturday.
He snuck up. It's like nobody was talking about him, and all of a sudden he's in contention. And that sounds stupid. All of a sudden, you know, you just watch. You know, it's just moving along. Like Tiger starts off with two birdies, a birdie, a bogey, which he's going nowhere. It's like he's rowing a boat in circles. It's frustrating to watch him. It's almost as bad as watching Ben Crane taking.
I'd rather watch Ben Crane. At least I know he's going to play pretty well from hole to hole.
There you go. But I mean, you know, the time that Tiger's taking now to get to the actual, you know, contact with the ball and where it goes, it's like everything is off. He's lost his mind. He's lost his game. All right. In the amateur section, Hideki Matsuyama, great to see him playing so well. But we've got three. Kelly Kraft. Not too many people know about Kelly Kraft and Patrick Cantlay. Of the
U.S. Amateur Champion who beat Cantlay in the final for the title last year, I guess it was Aaron Hills, and they both made the cut on the number at 5 over, and thank God for the 10-shot rule because otherwise the field would be pretty thin. But those guys are going to struggle a little bit for the weekend. I mean, but they're there. They get that experience. They get that chance. Cantlay's going to be back on that stage. Maybe Kelly Kraft will. And Matsuyama is a tremendous amateur. I think that he kind of justifies the club payment and the investment in the Asian Amateur Tournament. He's won the last 2 years. So he's won two of the three that have ever happened. He's made the cut both years. Guy's got serious game. He was 1 over through 36 holes. That's a tremendous accomplishment.
Yeah, certainly is. And what about no azaleas?
I think that's a bit of a downer, but I think it was a little bit overplayed at the start of the week. I mean, it's still a tremendously beautiful golf course, but flowers or not, I'm sorry. It's one of the most beautiful places on the planet. So There aren't as many greens or as purples and pinks and stuff, but there's plenty of green to go around, and that's what people care about, Augusta.
Are you eating pimento cheese sandwiches?
I prefer the egg salad, to be honest with you.
Me too.
I've had the pimento, but the egg salad's better. It's a personal preference, but some people that's what I like better.
Yeah. Are they $3?
They range. They're not all the same price this year. There's a little difference between them. Maybe a quarter or something. It's not a lot, but it's all under $3, and it's a great value for the money. It's an amazing value.
It's a great value for the money. So, from all of your experiences, how many times have you been at the Masters?
Three.
And is this the best one?
I think I could tell you on Sunday. Last year's was pretty amazing.
Yes, it was. It was.
And I think we could get the same thing this year. It depends on how they cut the pins for Sunday and if people step up like they did last year to make it as exciting as it was.
Okay. Ryan Ballingy, so glad to see you at golfchannel.com. All your writing. Love to follow you. And you always have some insights, you know, things. I always feel like I'm missing something. I know he's going to write something that I've missed, some little tidbit that he's found. That's what I really enjoy about the work that you do, Ryan. You're really good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show again.
It's my pleasure. We'll talk soon.
See you, Danielle.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Oh, it's a beautiful day. We are KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, KTOH, FM1, Princeville. Haven't been able to check in with HPD, but H1 westbound was closed before 7 o'clock this morning. So heading to Ko'olina may be difficult for you. There was a major accident. They were diverting traffic to the north-south road. Traffic's probably very slow going in the westbound direction. If you would like to go to Demo Day, it's at the Dunes at Maui Lani. Gorgeous course. If you ever get a play, go to Maui, play the Dunes at Maui Lani. It's right between Kahului and Wailea. Isthmus right there. It's a real nice course. The Maui Golf Shop, Cliff Council, he's putting this big Demo Day together. A strategic time, as they tell me. Thank you so much to, we should actually give away some rocket balls, don't you think? Wouldn't that be fun? Huh? 296-5467. 808-296-5467. We'll be taking your calls. What's the most important thing you put on in, well, clothes, of course, but when you put together your trip out to play a round of golf, okay, what do you need? Do you need your feet to be comfortable? Yes. We underestimate the importance of shoes. Well, not necessarily shoes, but socks. because socks are important. And we're going to talk to somebody for six generations. Kent Wool manufacturers have been in business. They made a special sock just for the Masters. I thought that was priceless. Welcome to the show. This is the Director of Golf Development at Kent Wool. Yeah, they have a Director of Golf Development. He plays to a 10. Very nice. And decided at one point in life that he wasn't going to make it on the PGA Tour. And hi, Gil Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Of course, my opinion on making it on tour would have changed if I had these Kent Wool socks back then, perhaps.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Give us the background a little bit. I mean, how does a big company like Kent Wool decide to go into golf socks?
Sure, I'll try and give you the short version here. As you already mentioned, we've been in business for almost 170 years now, all in one family, the Kent family, and always been the manufacturer of high-end wools for other retail companies around the world. We just felt, a lot of us are golfers at Kent Wool, and we simply felt that there was a void in the market as it related to a high-end performance golf sock. And we had developed some technology called windspun technology in which we could spin superfine merino wool in such a fashion that we could create a sock that would have a lot of the features that we wanted to accomplish, such things as the fact that we wanted to be able to completely wick away moisture, keep your feet good and dry, regardless of the humidity or the temperatures outside. We wanted to find a way to reduce fatigue, and our socks have a little additional cushioning in the toe area and in the heel area of the sock, which is where the stress points are in your feet. And that helps to reduce fatigue from being on your feet for long periods of time. We wanted to be able one of the things that plagues golfers who play a lot is the fact that they get blisters, particularly when wearing new golf shoes. So we wanted to create a sock that we'd be able to offer a 100% blister-free guarantee.
Wow, you have a 100% blister-free guarantee?
Yes. To my knowledge, Danielle, we are the only golf sock on the market that offers 100% blister-free guarantee, and it's been one of the primary reasons that initially so many golf professionals gave our sock a try, because they've all experienced that in the past, and that has really created a groundswell of enthusiasm on both the PGA and the LPGA Tour for our products. And we now have a little over 55 players on the PGA who wear our socks in competition, and we are the most worn sock on the LPGA these days, so we're proud of that fact.
Wow. Let me just mention that the Rocket Balls winner is Bruce Yoakam of Wailuku, Maui. Congratulations, Bruce. I send out giveaway about, a month worth, and then I'll get your number. I'll get your number, and I'll get your address, and I'll get down to the post office and get them to you, okay? All righty. So we can all stop calling. Now we'll do it again next week. We're talking with the person who says they make the world's best golf sock. Just backed it up by saying that did you just say more LPGA players use this Kent Wool sock than any other sock? What was the number?
We on the PGA Tour, we have a little over 55 professionals, and on the LPGA Tour, we have well over 110 players who wear our sock in competition. And given the fact that we've been retailing it now not even quite 3 years, we feel proud of the fact that the world's best players would be wearing our sock in competition and really feel that it makes a difference for them.
When you made the claim that you make the world's greatest golf sock, I went, well, how can I say that?
Right.
But now
right.
I know why you say that. And now I know why you say that.
Yes. Thank goodness the facts back that up. The sock is not just obviously intended for only golf professionals, although that's a nice testimonial on our product. Our primary customers are people just like me, people who enjoy the game, want to be comfortable when playing the game, and want to enjoy themselves. we get a tremendous amount of compliments from, again, the everyday player who purchased a pair of our socks and write to us and say they're the most comfortable pair that they've ever had. And then we see them come online on our website at kempwoolsocks.com and then buy three or four more pairs. So we're very pleased with the fact that people have been supporting us beyond our wildest imagination, quite frankly.
That's great. Yeah, what about, you know, a woman who wears a size 10 shoe? What would you suggest?
Well, we have
the men's, or do you have a large women's?
We have a large for women that will fit all the way up to a woman's size 11. We have sold quite a few of those. And if someone even has a larger foot, we're all about service at Ken Wool. You can call us, and we'll custom make you a pair of socks to fit your particular size. So you custom make
socks?
Oh, yes. If it's the fact that we have someone who, we've custom made socks for people, Charles Barkley, a great basketball player in the past, wears a size 18 shoe.
Yes.
He buys all his socks from us.
Wow.
Bubba Watson, who wears a, of course, he's tied for second right now in the Masters.
Yes.
He's wearing our Augusta sock as I speak. And he wears a size 13, so we will make a custom size sock for our customers for sure.
You can follow Kent Wool on Twitter at Kent Wool, and if you'd like to know more about the socks, maybe get some custom made socks for your particular foot, small or large. Kent Wool socks. .com. Very easy to find. So, okay, let's go to golf now. Bubba's wearing your socks, and Bubba aside, I don't want, you know, you to be, have to say him because he's wearing your socks. Who are you rooting for in the Masters?
Oh, well, I have to say, I'm rooting for Bubba, obviously, although we have a number of other players that are in, contention that are also wearing our socks, Jonathan Bird, Matt Kuchar. We're really rooting for the team. We'd like any of them to win. Bubba was one of the first golf professionals on the PGA Tour to try our socks and endorse our product. So we have a special place in our heart for Bubba.
You're the director of golf development, but you also play, right?
Oh, yes, I sure do. I obviously don't play as well as I used to, don't get the opportunity to get out quite as much, but I still enjoy the game and play as often as I can.
And you graduated from Youngstown State University. What area of the world are you living, and which golf course is one of your favorites?
Oh, well, I live in Greenville, South Carolina now, and we have a number of great courses right here in Greenville. We have a Greenville Country Club that one of their courses is called Chanticleer, and it's a great course. But perhaps some of the best courses that I've played over time, some of my favorites was Cypress Point, Pebble Beach in Carmel. It's hard to not think that they're special. I've had the opportunity to play Seminole in Florida, which is a long-standing private club with a wonderful history. Riviera in California, another great course.
Beautiful.
When I was in the golf business, it was in California, and I worked at La Jolla Country Club in La Jolla, California. So were some wonderful wonderful places to be. So.
Well, I hope one day you get to play the Masters, Augusta.
Well,
Augusta.
Well, I would love to have that opportunity sometime. I just have to find a person who would love to invite me. So I keep my fingers crossed.
And I for you, sir,
Gilpatrick.
Thank you so much for being on the show with me this morning.
My pleasure. And I would like to say that we do have a lot of customers in Hawaii. And we do have free shipping here from the mainland to Hawaii. So anyone who would like to give our socks a try, they can order them online, and we'd be happy to ship them on a complimentary basis.
That's Kent Wool SocksSocks.com. Thanks, Gil.
Danielle, thank you so much for having the opportunity to chat with you.
I've learned a lot. I had no idea. Thank you very much for telling me why you are indeed the world's greatest golf sock. We'll be
thank
back.
Thank you, Danielle.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. Okay, co-host of The Grill Room and the voice of golf. The Grill Room, by the way, you can hear it on Sirius XM, XM 93, and Sirius 208, sponsored by Transitions Adaptive Lenses. Bob Bubka, welcome to the show.
No, welcome to Augusta, Georgia, and get ready, Danielle. This could be a super one.
This is a super one. This is fantastic.
Well, I, you know, the storylines, there's so many, I don't even know where to begin. I guess we'll begin right with Fred Couples at 52 years old trying to win a major golf championship. That would break the record set way back in 1968 by Julius Burroughs, who won at 48 years old. So he would break that record by 4 years. You got Sergio Garcia, who's never won a major. You got Lee Westwood, who's never won a major. You got Rory McIlroy that should have won this tournament a year ago, and now he's back in position to do it again. You got Bubba Watson using a pink driver. I mean, come on. This is like broadcaster's overload.
Lots of lovely golf stories. Lots of storylines to follow. Now, I just can only imagine what the Grill Room is going to sound like between you. You've been traditionally kind of on Tiger's side, right? And Alex Maselli, traditionally not on Tiger's side.
And I asked Janet, is she going to want to talk about Tiger Woods? Because I don't want to go on if she's going to do that. And then first thing out of the box, that's what you bring up. Now, I felt as bad for Tiger as anybody yesterday, watching him on the 16th hole, a little par three. And I guarantee you, Danielle, that you would hit a 9-iron closer to the hole than he hit it. He's getting way too mechanical. It's, he's blocking his talent by trying to use mechanical stuff. You know, when he came here after winning at Bay Hill, all he had to do was just play golf here, not get golf lessons. And, you know, yesterday before he teed off, Sean Foley was on the range, changing this, changing that, same thing today. The old saying, and it really holds true, you got to dance with who you bring to the dance.
And just dance.
And just dance.
Yeah. Why won't he just go play golf? That's what's frustrating. Watching him it's no longer fun to see him on television. I think that in itself is interesting. It's like, okay, or maybe it's fun for people who like to watch him just melt down. Look at Tiger. He's falling apart. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't this great? Well, I wish him the best, and it's because I think everybody should be, you know, given a second chance in life, but he's really got to do something about his thinking. He's just overthinking everything, and I can feel it. It's almost like you can watch him think. It's like, stop thinking. Let it go. I don't know. He needs a mental coach. He doesn't need a swing coach.
No, you're right on the money there, Danielle. He used to play this game with just feel and talent and rhythm and you know, all that's going out the window. I agree with you. He's overthinking every shot, and then by the time it gets time to pull the trigger, he gets a short circuit somewhere in that swing, and
yes,
and it's just that things happen.
Yes, exactly. Right, he thinks and right when he's ready to pull the trigger, everything goes blank. It's like his brain goes blank because he's thinking so much. You just go blank if you're not in the moment, and he can't possibly be in the moment if he's thinking about that many things. All right, enough of him.
Well, let's talk about some of the happier aspects.
Yes.
Pristine day here for round three. Golf fans everywhere. Live television will be coming up in a matter of minutes, and Phil Mickelson playing with BJ Singh is going to be exciting. Fred Couples with Jason Duffner, who keeps reappearing. How about Garcia playing with McIlroy? Lee Westwood playing with Oosthuizen. You know, the Masters people couldn't have it any better. And the earlier in the week, we had all the discussions about a female member, and they said that, you know, their membership policies are secret. A friend of mine 2 days ago went up to one of the people responsible for providing the food to the media, and they're known here for years with their pimento green pimento cheese sandwiches, and he said that he wanted to find out what the recipe was for those cheese sandwiches because they were so good. And the final answer came down: we don't discuss our recipes for anything.
They don't discuss the membership policies, and they don't discuss their recipes. It's a very private club, and they like to keep everything very private. The one good thing is, I think Ron Cyrak tweeted this earlier today, it's no longer a one-man tour, and that's exciting. It's really...
You're definitely right about that. I mean, there are probably at least a dozen players after two rounds that could win this event very easily. And for those listeners, your good listeners, that may never have the privilege or be lucky enough to ever come here, let me assure you, it's far hillier than it looks on television. It's far prettier than it looks on television. It's far more challenging than it looks on television. And they just do things a different way. One of the major changes for this year, they constructed a restroom on the 16th tee, a very nice, elaborate building. Well, unfortunately, on Tuesday night, a thunderstorm came through the area. Lightning hit a tree, knocked the building down completely. Wednesday morning, Chairman Billy Payne said, we'll have it up and running by this afternoon.
Yes, they can do marvelous things at Augusta. Yes, it's truly amazing. They can move forests if they choose to. They have an unlimited budget, and they can do what they will. But I don't understand why they don't put it on television more. Why are there so few hours televised?
Because why are there so few tickets? They sold 25,000 tickets for this event in 1976. In 2012, they sold 25,000 tickets. This is the only event in the world. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there were 60, 70,000 spectators out there watching in practice. When the bell rings Thursday morning, only those 25 that had tickets get into the ground.
Okay, but I can understand that, Bob. I mean, you don't want all those people tramping down the grass and making things a mess. I get that. But television hours don't disrupt the beauty of the course. Don't make a mess, you know? All those people make a mess. Keep those people, keep the riffraff out. But the TV can't...
You know what? Let me correct you here. Patrons do not make a mess. They wouldn't dare drop anything.
That's what I'm saying.
How about tomorrow morning? Listen to me carefully. People will line up at 8 o'clock. A husband and wife can walk down to the 16th hole, a prime viewing spot, put their chairs down, leave for 4 hours, and when they come back, those chairs will be in the exact same spot. Nobody will even move it.
I understand. What I meant is all the, you know, the 75,000 feet tramping down the beautiful vegetation for 4 days, that's a hardship on the grounds is what I'm talking. I'm not saying that people would make a mess with litter. I'm just saying it'd be difficult on the grounds. But television, they've got the cameras there anyway. I don't know why they don't televise more. People would like to see more.
The way they put it, let's say you sat down and had the most magnificent dinner in the world. You enjoyed it immensely.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you finished, they said, you want another one? You want another one? At some point, it's not a magnificent dinner anymore. And the Masters people think that by limiting the amount that you see, it makes it more enjoyable, and they're not about to change. Trust me. They're not about to change.
No, okay, I understand. All right, it's the tease factor. Okay, you know, I get that. Harumph. I don't like it, but I get it. So we only have like 2 minutes left in our broadcast moment here, Bob. What is the most memorable moment for you at any Masters or at this one in particular? What really stands out for you?
Well, at this Masters, certainly the addition of Gary Player hitting the first tee shot on Thursday morning alongside Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, and having Phil Mickelson stand right there and watch him, even though his tee time was some 6 hours away. My all-time favorite Masters moment, 1986, when Jack wins for the last time on the PGA Tour, and I get to be the first person to interview Jack Nicklaus. That is a memory that I'll never forget. I cherish it to this day. And then I got to play the golf course on Monday, the day after that 86 Masters, and had a 10-foot putt on 18 to break 80 and drained it right in the middle. And I should have burned my clubs right after that because I've never played that well since.
Oh, but that memory is fantastic. This is Bob Bupka. You can see Bob at bobbupka.com in his fantastic purple coat. And I'd also like to tell you that it is now available to be seen on thegrillroom.com. Go to thegrillroom.com and you'll see Bob Bupka in his purple mink coat. You can listen to them on Sirius XM. XM 93 and Sirius 208, sponsored by Transitions Adaptive Lenses. Bob Bupka, as always.
Thank you, Danielle. I have to run.
Bye.
Have a happy Easter to all your listeners.
Thank you very much. Bye, Bob. And I want to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, because, of course, without them, we wouldn't be on the air. Thank you to Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr. It's bordered by emerald green mountains, seriously, 30 acres of tropical plants and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Alaka'i Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. Sheet metal. You know, if you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen, designed, fabricated, right there for you. It's Alaka'i Mechanical. Star protection for property threats. Risk assessment. You got to get your place assessed for the risk so that you can then protect it. Protection for your home, your business, for your concert, a special event. You know, get the STAR team on your property. STAR protection, what you need here in Hawaii, and they're also in California. Avance Salon, color, cut, silkening technologies, extensions, manicures, pedicures. Go see Deb and Bev at Avance. You can always catch us at Radio Golf. I can say the name of my place, RadioGolfClub.com. We're live and we are archived there. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.